me to Joshua chapter 1. We've recently begun a series in this grand book of the Bible. This is our third installment, and we will go from 1:1 and to the end. And this morning's passage is verses 10 through 18. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh," Joshua said, "remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise." Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Let's pray. Our Father, as you commanded Joshua, we pray that you would help us to be strong and courageous as well. And we pray that you teach us this day through your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of us are aware that in the 1940s, there was something that we called a world war going on. Every nation in the world wasn't involved, but it involved most portions of the world, hence the title. But you know, before that, in the 1930s, there was a war going on in China. In the 30s, those called the nationalists and those called the communists were at war for the land of China. And in 1934, the nationalists, led by Chiang Kai-shek, were winning. They were annihilating the Red Army. And the Red Army decided that they had to get away. So they booked a trip. And it's what we call the Long March. They went from the south of China, approximately 85 to 86,000 of them in the Red Army and their families. And they went north and they went west and they went north again. They traveled somewhere between 6 and 8,000 miles. 370 days. They started with 85 to 86,000, and when they arrived, they had 7,000. Again, it was called a long march. It was long, it was treacherous. They lost people to the landscape, and they lost people to the nationalists. But there, when they hunkered down in that camp, they grew in strength. And I think we all know that eventually that Red Army, led by Mao Zedong, took control of that entire vast land. Well, Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites, some 2 million strong, were about to head off on a long march. The first thing they had to do was get across that river, and that was no easy task. It was at flood stage. They were going to have trials, and they knew it. But you see, what we learn here and what we learn in other parts of God's Word is that Christians are called to stand firm, even and especially in their times of trial, in their temptations, and in the midst of their culture. So let's take a look at this particular long march. And the first thing that God told them through Joshua was, be ready. Be ready. Verses 11 and 12 read this way. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Joshua called all his officers together, and I guess they had what you could call an officers' meeting, a staff meeting. And he said, all right, men, it's time. Go through the camp. Tell them it's time to get ready. It's on. Get ready. Do what you need to do to get prepared. The big adventure is about to begin. But it's not like Israel hadn't already had a few adventures, is it? They'd crossed the Red Sea ahead of the Egyptian army and had looked on in amazement as Pharaoh's men were swallowed up by the sea. They had lived 40 years in the desert. There were no 7-Elevens. And they didn't go hungry. God took care of them. They were fed every day. They were both fed and led. Now it was time to be ready for the next adventure. And what were they supposed to do? Well, first they were to move. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan. 3 days! 3 days. We're going west. We're going over the flood stage river. 3 days. Imagine the tension in the camp. Imagine the jitters. Imagine the questions, the comments, the doubts. Oh man, what is this going to be like? Or, I hope this works out. I don't think I can swim. Oh ye of little faith. I'm not sure I can carry everything across. Folks were probably on edge. Some of them might have been getting on one another's nerves. On the other hand, there is something that psychologists have identified as pre-battle elation. Some of these folks were probably a little giddy. Described by medical personnel as a strange and fearsome delight at being at last really up against it. Israel had 3 days to move. What else? What else did they have to do? They had to accept God's gift. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Notice that there are two items on this to-do list here. The first was to get ready to move. The second is that Israel was to take possession of that which God had promised them. Joshua was careful in his wording here. He knew that God had promised them the land of Canaan. He also knew that God is a promise-keeping God. Joshua had seen. Remember, Joshua was the military leader of Moses for 40 years. He had seen God bring Israel through battle when they were outgunned and outmanned. He had seen God defeat Israel's enemies. Well, folks, he's made promises to us too. You look through God's word just looking for promises, you're going to be there a while. He's made hundreds, maybe thousands of promises to us. I'm going to take the time this morning to list just a few of those promises. You may need to find another place to write some of them down if you're taking notes. God has promised that Christ will accept us. God has promised us eternal life. Note that this list is for those who put their trust in God. This list is for those of us this morning who read that affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, and believed every word that we read. For those of us who are in Christ, He made these promises. He promised that He'll forgive us. He's promised that He will be faithful to us. He has promised us comfort in times when we need comfort. He has promised to always be with us. God has promised that He will grant us, give us courage when we need it. He's also promised to give us wisdom, because sometimes when we've got courage, we need to know how to use it. God promises to give us the strength to refuse temptation. God answers prayer. God gives peace of mind. God offers guidance. And God grants us rest. And when the time comes, God will grant us His eternal rest. You know what all this adds up to? What we call around here Theology 101. Jesus saves. God is the author of salvation. He made promises to Israel. He promised them the land of Canaan. Oh, He didn't say you're going to just walk in and occupy. You're going to have to do some work. But if you're doing your work in faith, God's promises will be fulfilled. So He told them, be ready. Secondly, He told them, be settled. You may have noticed as I read through that not everybody was going. Not all in the camp of Israel were going to cross the river from east to west. Picking up at verse 12 in our passage, we have, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as He has done for you. and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of the Jordan, toward the sunrise. The tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh had been given their portions of land on the east side of the Jordan. They didn't have to go across the river to take possession of their land. They had somehow, along the way, accumulated livestock. Lots of it. And they saw that the land where they were now camped was good for their livestock, good for their lifestyles, good for their families, good for their purposes. And they asked, "Hey, can we stay on this side?" They did not have to go over that river to claim their land. But there were stipulations. First, families stay. That's part of the bargain. The wives and the families and all the livestock they had were to remain behind. They were not crossing the river. They were to stay and, in a sense, keep the home fires burning. This was the agreement that these tribes had made. And they themselves were the ones who had proposed this plan. Let me turn your attention back to Numbers chapter 32. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 and then 16 through 19. Numbers chapter 32. The Reubens and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the land of Jazer and Gilead was suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the community and said, "Adaroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealah, Sebam, Nebo, and Baon, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel, are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes," they said, "let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." Moses said to the Gadites and the Reubenites, "Shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshkol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord swore an oath." Picking up at verse 16. "Then they came up to him and said, 'We would like to build pens here for our livestock and cities for our women and children, but we're ready to arm ourselves and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. Meanwhile, our women and children will live in fortified cities for protection from the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every Israelite has received his inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan, because our inheritance has come to us on the east side of the Jordan.'" Notice the time frame here. This wasn't over the space of a week. The folks were camped on the east side of the Jordan for some time. The Reubens, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh had time. They actually built those cities. They had fortified cities. They had stockyards. Their families would stay. It was agreed. But the second part of the stipulation is that the warriors would go. This was, in a sense, the payment that these tribes had to make before they had clear title on the land on the east side of the Jordan, which God had granted them. They would go into battle with their brothers. In fact, they would lead their brothers into battle. The plan was that they would cross the Jordan first, fully armed. And they would not go back home to Gilead until the job was done. until their brothers and sisters had their inheritance and were at rest. So Israel had to be ready to move. They had to be settled, some of them. And third, they had to be strong and courageous. Now, it's interesting to me, at least, to note who is speaking here. It's not God. In verses 6 and 7 and 9, we see the phrase, be strong and courageous. In verse 7, in fact, it's be strong, be very strong and be courageous. And it was God talking to Joshua, and Joshua had to pass that on to the people. But read verses 16 and 18 with me back here in Joshua chapter 1. They answered Joshua. Who's they? Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. These people are swearing allegiance to God and to God's leader among the people, Joshua. And they are pre-condemning anyone who is not obedient to Joshua and therefore to God. This is serious business. And it's these people who say to Joshua, we're going forward. We're putting our men into battle. We're going to lead Israel in battle. And we condemn anyone who does not follow you. But you, Joshua, leader of the people, be strong and be courageous. What is this serious business? Well, first, the task before them is daunting. There were only two men left in Israel who really knew what lay before them. Joshua and Caleb had been to Canaan. They were among those spies who had been sent out. They were the only two who came back and made a positive report. They had seen the cities, fortified cities, with high and strong walls. They had glimpsed the warriors of this promised land. Humanly speaking, these two, Joshua and Caleb, knew that the majority report of the other spies was right. But that's humanly speaking. They knew that they were up against terrific odds. They knew that Israel, if it did not have divine help and guidance, would be quickly vanquished and left to die in the promised land. But these two men of faith also knew that they did have divine help and guidance. They were faithful men, men full of faith. Full of faith in the God who makes promises and never fails to keep them. The task was daunting, but the next step, you see, is the victory is yours. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Yes, the job's going to be tough, but the victory is yours. Or should we say, the victory is God's. So be strong and courageous. You can afford to be. God is at the head of your army. Now the word strong can be translated a different way. It can be translated by the word prevail. By obedience to God's commands, by faith, they were to overcome. I want to take you to one of my favorite readings in all of Scripture, in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, just the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? The answer is nobody. Nobody. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. God's got it. He's got control. He's got you in His hand. Israel was to prevail over the Canaanites. Now, Psalm 27, of course, had not yet been written when Joshua and Caleb and Israel faced this situation. Yet, they were to live its teaching. They were to live this idea of being confident in the Lord, no matter what army besieges. And we're supposed to live its teachings as well, folks. Of whom shall I be afraid? The atheists? The government? Shall I be afraid of the competition? Shall I be afraid of school? How about the boss? Of whom shall I be afraid? The boss? Should I be afraid of my drug problem? My drinking problem? My marital problem? Should I be afraid of my own struggle with lust? Should I be afraid of all that time I spend on Facebook? Should I be afraid of the internet in general? Is there some Canaanite in my life? Should I fear? No. He's not only got your back, He's got your front and the top and the bottom too. Be strong and courageous. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 31 verse 23 reads this way. The Lord gave this command to Joshua son of Nun. Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath. And I myself will be with you. Did you notice that God didn't make that as a suggestion? The Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun. Be strong and be courageous, for I will hand them over to you. That exhortation is for us as well. You having a hard time this week? You having a hard time this month? Feels like everybody's out to get you? Well, it's not necessarily paranoia if they are. Do you not feel strong enough to face up to life? Do you think God is? How many times do you suppose Joshua was walking around the camp muttering to himself, "Oh God, I trust you, deliver me. Oh God, I know that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Let not this be the one time." Because even the people of strongest faith sometimes get weak. Joshua was the leader. He'd been through battle. But he was also responsible for all these people, this vast horde of Israelites. He was a man of faith, but he was a man. And despite the fact that he probably had an occasional doubt, he stood up. He was strong. He was courageous. He was a leader. He took hold of the gifts that God had given him, and he led the people whom he had been given to lead. And he said, "Okay, men, let's go get him." The long march was about to begin for Joshua and for Israel. And it's over for that batch of Israel. But it's still going on for us, isn't it? We are still on our long march through this life. Be strong. Be courageous. Trust God, for He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for glimpses into history, glimpses into what You have done for Your people Israel. And we claim the promises. We claim the promise that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We claim the promise that You'll be here for us, that You'll lead us, that You'll take care of us. And we claim the promise of eternity with You. We ask that You help us in this pre-eternity time to live and stand firm for You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.